Nice to see you all. Happy December. I don't know where November went, but even this morning as we were singing, I was thinking of Jesus asks, when you went out to see John the Baptist, what did you go out to see? Did you go out to see somebody dressed in fine clothes, or did you just go to see a reed swaying in the wind? And this morning, I hope that we didn't just show up to see something, see a performance, but to engage, to come to God and to taste and experience. And so that's my hope this morning. My name is Dove, if I haven't met you. And I've been a pastor for just over 2 years. And being a pastor is a really interesting thing. I imagine your work or school is really interesting too, and has its own unique set of challenges. And being a pastor has its own unique set of challenges. And most of those all have to do with me, like kind of my own stuff. But it's interesting, I was at this event, it was a really cool event, it's called the Walk to Emmaus, and there's other pastors there. And I was talking to this pastor, and he asked me, so what denomination are you in? And I said, we're non-denominational. And he's like, oh, okay. So he's got, like, I know what that means. So you're probably not that into eschatology. And I'm there and I'm going, oh man, I know what that word means. Eschatology. And so I had a choice at that time, be like, yeah, I'm not really that into it. Or to be like, remind me again what that is. And so I asked, and I'm like, tell me again, what's eschatology? Oh, the ideas of the end times. Like, oh yeah. No, I don't preach on that on a regular basis. And so there's definitely, I think we all have it, but I feel it a lot as a pressure, as a pastor, this pressure to like, I need to know all of these doctrines. And I need to have a very clear opinion on dispensationalism. And I need to have it all categorized. Yet I don't really think that's what it's about. And even this morning, and many mornings, all mornings, my hope is not just that we grow in intellectual knowledge. My hope is that we grow in an intimate knowledge of God. And there's a difference between knowing about something or about someone and knowing someone. And the hope in my life is not that I know more about God, but that I know God more. And I hunger to know God more. And I think information and knowledge and truth is a very powerful tool to know God. But it can also just be a hang-up. I can get a new bicycle, and instead of riding my bicycle, I can spend all my time working on it and polishing it and putting decals on it and racing stripes and just, but the purpose of it is to be used. And the same thing with our knowledge. Our knowledge of God is intended to be used to know God, to experience Him, to love Him, that He would become our delight more and more, that He would become our treasure, that He wouldn't just be, oh yeah, I understand the theory more, and I know how to put Him in a box. Oh yeah, this is God in this box. And then I get more information, and that box doesn't fit. So now I get a bigger box. Okay. And then I get a bigger box. But really, it's to get out of the box and to know Him. And in that, there's mystery. There's a big, I cannot ever really know the extent of God. If I did, He would no longer be God. And so may the information we gain, may the truths be tools for us to grow closer to God. May He be our treasure. Let's pray. God, thank You for this morning. I thank You for the profound truth of you, the profound mystery that is so far beyond me. God, I would love to stand up here some night, sometimes, and make it sound like I know, like I have a great understanding. And yet the glimpse I have of you is so small, and yet so beautiful. God, I ask that you would expand our glimpse of you this morning. That we would hunger for you and taste you. That we would know you and love you. That we would believe. Not just in some kind of, oh yeah, I believe you're there, but I would believe in a way that my life shows that I trust you. That I trust you with my fear. That I trust you with my pain. That I trust you with my choices and my life. Because you are worthy. I ask that you would speak to us this morning. God, I pray for those things that we carry. Those weights. The weights of this world. We just lay them at your feet. You are the only one that can carry them. I ask that you would carry them. I ask that you would be with us and teach us this morning. Not in our heads, but in our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going through a series called The Commands of Christ. And this is number 5. Jesus said that we should make disciples, make followers of other, all the nations, of other people, baptize them, and then teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And so we're just looking at, what did Jesus command us? So that I can teach others. Of course, so that I can live in that, and then also so I can teach others to be his disciples in that way. And so the 5th one is the Lord's Supper, and just some intellectual information. It comes in different names. The Lord's Supper is also called the Lord's Table. It's called breaking of bread, communion, the Eucharist. It has different names, but it comes from at the end of Jesus' life. He had dinner, the Last Supper, with his disciples, and during dinner, in Luke 22:19, it lays it out also in the other Gospels, he took bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." And so he said, you should do this. You should break bread, you should take the cup, and you should do it in a way to remember me. And that's the Lord's Supper. And so why should we do that? The first reason is because he told us to. And honestly, that's probably enough for us. Jesus said to do it. And I want to emphasize, he told us to and we should do it. We should do it to obey him, but not to earn. And even as we go through this series, The Commands of Christ, there's a little fear in me that it will come across as kind of the Old Testament commands. If you do these things, then you will be acceptable to me. Then you will earn a right standing. Then you have gained something. And that is not the relationship we have with God. In fact, when Jesus said, this is the new covenant is the opposite. The old covenant said, if you do this, if you seek, if you obey, if you have forgiveness, if you have sacrifices, you can reach me. You can be right with me. And the new covenant says, I will come, I will give my blood, and I will make you right with me. And you will be right with me. Not because of what you've done, but because I have given you a right standing with me. If you will believe and receive that right standing. And so, as we talk about the commands of Christ, may we not try to, okay, I'm going to earn something. I'm going back to the old covenant. If I do these things, I gain righteousness. In Christ, we have received righteousness. and we obey him from righteousness. We obey him from gratitude. We obey him from the power of his spirit and love. And it's so easy for me to get that twist around. Oh, I need to do these things. And then God's going to something. Accept me, love me, give me righteousness. No, that's done. That's the old covenant. May we obey him, but may we not seek to try to earn something from him in our obedience. And yet he said, do this. May we do this. The second reason is because we need reminded. We do. We forget. There's probably very few Sundays that you come and go, whoa, I never knew that. What? I imagine most Sundays we come and we say, that's good to remember. Yeah, I had lost track of that. Or, yes, I want to stay on that course. We need to be reminded. We need to be reminded on a regular basis. Jesus gave his body and blood for me. I need to remember that. I need that all the time. And he said that, do this in remembrance, as a way to remember. Another reason we should do this is to proclaim what Christ has done. In 1 Corinthians 11:26, Paul writes, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So I'm not just remembering, I'm also proclaiming. I'm saying, hey, I believe Christ died for us. I'm proclaiming, I'm telling others. And I believe he's coming back. You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I'm making a proclamation, a statement in my remembrance. And that's pretty cool. We have an opportunity to give evidence of our faith. Yeah, I believe. I'm making a statement. The next one starts to get mysterious to me. We celebrate the Lord's Supper not only intellectually to remember or to proclaim to others, but it's a participation. We do it to participate in Christ's gift. And this is wild. Paul writes earlier in 1 Corinthians 10, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ?" And the mystery of the physical world and the spiritual world, to me, is so profound. And this is one of those places where we have a physical expression. It's just bread, and it's just juice or wine. And yet in this act, we have a spiritual participation. It could just be a physical participation. Oh, our body gets a tiny bit of calories. But there can also be a spiritual participation where we engage spiritually with what Christ has done for us. And that comes at a deeper level, not necessarily because of the actual sustenance, but it because of we are engaging, we are acknowledging Christ in us, the power of his life in us and available to us. We are participating in his life. And I think for me, part of that mystery, so baptism is the other kind of symbol that Christ has given us. And in baptism, we acknowledge, and it's just a one time, we are baptized. It's an expression that we have died and been made new, born again. Our old nature has gone, and we have a new nature. We have become holy. And then, in the Lord's Supper, we engage on a regular basis. Yes, I'm made holy, but I'm still being made holy. Is that possible? We're already made holy, and yet we're being made holy? That's kind of wild to me. I don't know. They've written volumes and volumes on that. If you can explain that exactly, then you're way smarter than me. But it's true. We have already been made holy in Christ. From the moment we have an awareness of His gift and put our faith in Him, we are made holy. And then we are being that expression of our holiness day by day is happening. And I come to the Lord's table and say, I need your holiness. I receive your strength. I receive your cleansing. I receive afresh your power in my life. And we participate. Another reason for the Lord's Supper is to show our unity. Paul continues, because there's one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. So just as there's one loaf, we are all part of that one body. And it's kind of sad to me because the Lord's Supper was intended to show our unity, and it's definitely one of the things different churches have divided over and said, no, you cannot do it that way. You must do it this way. No, whatever, it has to be this type of bread, this type. You have to go through this ritual beforehand. We'll talk more about that. But it's intended to show that we're all one. And so just kind of thinking through this for me, this unity, if I'm being united in love, that's the expression of the Lord's Supper. Is that really greater than having knowledge and using it to argue? May that be the case. May being united in love truly be greater for the church all over the world than having this knowledge and using it to say, no, that's not right, this isn't right, and to argue with each other. And there's just a few things I kind of think about in this. Am I being full of knowledge and argument, or am I united in love? If I trust God above my own understanding, to me that's a place where I can be united in love. If when I am more concerned about unity than technicalities, then I can be united in love. When my knowledge is for sharing something beautiful with someone else, not arguing, then I can be united in love. And I think the different ways of doing the Lord's Supper have validity, and they capture different parts of the mystery. And yet, may we share those beautiful things and not argue. I read this last week, and I just thought this tied in perfect. St. Thomas Aquinas in the 1200s, he wrote a 20-volume work on God. He began his work, "This is the ultimate knowledge about God, to know that we do not know." So he starts there. The greatest knowledge of God is to know that we don't know. And then he adds 20 volumes. And he writes 20 volumes on God. And then, at the end of his life, he had a vision of Christ in church. After that experience, he stated, "I can no longer write, for God has given me such glorious knowledge that all contained in my works are as straw, barely fit to absorb the holy wonders that fall in a stable." Like, manure is a holy wonder. Everything I wrote is hardly able to even absorb that. And yet, Thomas Aquinas has some beautiful things that have added to people for generations, centuries. And likewise, may the knowledge we have add to people, may it be a gift to people. So how do we celebrate the Lord's Supper? There's all kinds of different ways. There are people all over this city right now, even this morning, meeting together, celebrating the Lord's Supper together. Some people make sure to have unleavened bread because It was from Passover, and it was during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So Jesus' bread was most assuredly unleavened. Some people do it with real wine. Some people do it with juice. Typically in our church, we celebrate communion at the fiestas. So once a month. Some small groups do it during their small groups. I have celebrated communion, broke bread, even just with my wife in our house. Even when I wasn't a pastor, you know. Some people have one person, a pastor or priest, who gives it to everyone. Some people go in partners and actually feed it to each other. Some people do it during a meal, kind of like Jesus did. And during that meal have a piece of that as communion. So how? What's the right way? There's only one right way that the Bible lays out. And Paul writes about it. He says, you need to remember. You need to acknowledge Christ's body was broken for you. All the rest is just stuff we've added. The details are less important. In 1 Corinthians 11:28, Paul says this, everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. So we're supposed to discern the body. We don't just like, oh, whatever, it's just whatever, I do this because that's what I do. We're supposed to actually discern, okay, Christ's body was broken for me. His life gives me life. His strength was broken to give me strength. His blood was shed to make me cleansed. And as long as we believe and remember, anybody is open. You come and share. There's no specific way to do that. So we're actually going to break bread this morning. We're going to share a time of communion. You are all invited. If you aren't in that spot, there's no obligation. But I ask you to come in a place of, yeah, I discern. I remember what you did for me. My holiness comes from Christ. And my ongoing growth and holiness comes from Christ. And if you want to kneel down or have a time of just sitting silently, if you want to do a dance, you can. It is kind of a celebration. For me, it's usually kind of somber, reflective of like, wow, I need Christ so much. But it also says celebrate the Lord's Supper. So it's like, yeah, I was in big trouble. I had nothing to offer, and he made me righteous. Like, man. So anyways, may we remember, as Isaiah says, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, for our sins, for our blemishes. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Amen. Jesus says that he is the bread of life, another amazing mystery, kind of like the manna that came from heaven. He is the greater manna, that if we partake of him, if we believe in him, we have eternal life. And so I'm going to pray, and then I'm just going to put these out. It is just ordinary crackers. If you can't have gluten, then I'm sorry. Don't eat them. But and we'll just take a little time to reflect, and my hope is that we engage with Christ this morning. Just appreciate him and allow his power to just continue to soak into us. His amazing forgiveness and power, life, his ability to give a breakthrough in all those places in our life. Lord Jesus, we just acknowledge what you've done. You are our life. Christ, you have become my life, my spiritual life, even more than food sustains my body. You sustain my spirit. You sustain me and grow me. You are my life. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you that you have you've taken all of our sins. You've taken all of our shame. God, I just want to bring those. May each person here bring those. Any sense of guilt or shame, just bring it and leave it with you, because you can carry it. Because your body was broken to deal with it. Your blood was spilled to just cleanse it. Thank you. Thank you that we are cleansed. I acknowledge that we need you. In Jesus' name. Amen. How amazing to be included in Christ. Each one of us. Not because any of us earned it, but we're included in Christ. I was thinking about one day when we die or Christ comes back and we stand before God. He's not going to give anybody an intellectual test. All right, what are the 66 books of the Bible in order? Sorry, that's Deuteronomy comes before whatever, Joshua. And yet sometimes we go down that road of like, oh, I need more intellectual knowledge. And looking at Matthew 7, 21 through 23, it blows my mind sometimes what Jesus says. But I think at that time we'll stand before God and he's going to say, welcome home, daughter. Welcome home, son. And to some he's going to say, I never knew you. And he's not going to say, what'd you do for me? What'd you accomplish? Give me your resume. I'll let you in. I know you. Welcome home. Like, you were part of my family. You took my offer. I was in you. You were in me. We were connected, and we continue that connection. So may our knowledge and understanding as we grow, may it grow us in a connection to the Father. That's my hope. And a connection to each other.